From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of October 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And Mike Barwinski will be here. He's a senior trader with Louis Dreyfus Commodities out of Kansas City and will help us take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Along the way, we'll hear from the statisticians in Illinois, Nebraska, and Iowa. Pay special attention to the Iowa statistician. He'll tell you that the average moisture content of corn being harvested there is just 14%. We'll also hear today from Fabian Fernandez, a soil fertility specialist here on campus, about dry fertilizers, potassium and phosphorus in particular, and some of the best things that a producer might be able to do this fall to take a good look at where those fertility needs are for next spring. And don't forget, just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will be here to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on a Tuesday afternoon, futures finished lower. December contract for the soft red winter wheat at $6.71.5, down 18.5 cents. March at $7.09, down 18.75. And July at $7.40.25, down 16.5 cents. December corn futures $5.46, 11.25 lower. March at $5.58, down 11.25. And the May at $5.63.25, down 12 cents. July corn $5.65, 12.75 lower. December of next year at $5.09.5, down 7.25 cents. November beans at $11.80, down 4. January at $11.91.5, 3.5 lower. March soybeans at $11.99.75, down 3.5 cents. The May at $12.02.75, 3.5 lower. July down 4.5 at $12.06.75. And next year's November at $11.47. Down 5.25. Meal down 10 cents at $3.28.20. Oil at 56 cents lower, $47.10. Mercantile exchange numbers. October live cattle futures, $99.67.5, up 60 cents for the day. October feeder cattle at $109.62.5, or 82.5 higher than November there at $110.80, up $1.25. And December lean hog futures at $68.20 per 100 pounds. Finished the day 17.5 cents higher from the CME Group's livestock side. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon in a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil futures $79.68 a barrel. Finished down $3.40, actually still trading. Ethanol at 217.4, down 3.9. Natural gas at 351.8, it's 8.7 higher on the day. Diesel fuel at $2.19.3, down 8.2. And the gold futures at $1,335.10, finished down $36.10. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,973. Just about 170 points lower at this hour. The U.S. dollar at 78.18 is up 1.2, and the CRB index at 292.98 is down 5.76 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast from the National Weather Service looks like for the day. Says sunny skies today, a high near 63 degrees, north-northwest winds at around 6 miles an hour. Tonight should be mostly clear, a low of 41 degrees, west winds around 7 miles an hour for this evening. Tomorrow should have a sunny sky, a high near 69, south-southwest winds between 9 and 17. They'll gust all the way to 25 tomorrow, and then tomorrow night mostly clear, the low of 41, west winds at 8 to 10, gusting to 16. On Thursday, sunny skies again, a high near 64 degrees, north-northwest winds between 7 and 11, gusting to 17. And Thursday night, mostly clear, the low Thursday evening at just 38 degrees. Friday should be sunny and a high of 66. Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 46 degrees. Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, the high on Saturday near 66 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms continues. Mostly cloudy, a low of just 52 degrees on Saturday evening. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana, is on the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd.
They did it again. Markets moved sharply. This time it was on an outside force. It came from China. Tell me what happened in the trade overnight and how China pushed the marketplace.
Well, basically, until very early this morning, the markets were up from yesterday's somewhat solid close, feeling we were going to hold support and looking good and regaining a little bit of momentum. Then they cut their interest, added to their interest, and not cut their interest rate. Just the opposite of they raised their interest rate 0.25%, which we didn't feel was probably that big a deal, but they sure acted about it in the crude oil market. Crude's down, when we come in this morning, it was down about $1.50. It's down $3.50. It's $79.59, back under $80 in the crude. And also then the dollar up over 132 points here today, and the Dow Jones down 155, and of course the gold down about $40. So all of the outside influences that have seemed to have been positive as far as the inflationary factor here for the commodities and the U.S. Goods that way, or solid goods, seem to be on the skids today, and that of course with the crude oil being down like it was, that makes ethanol not quite as valuable. Corn got quite as valuable, and the beans did erase a lot of their losses in the last few minutes. We continue to see extremely strong purchases by the Chinese in the beans, and it looks like they'll hang in there quite well. So it's mostly outside markets, Todd.
Yeah, mostly the outside markets. It seemed that the marketplace here in the United States thought 0.25% was an awful lot. Do you think that the Chinese will cut back that much, and are they that scared of the inflation that might come up, that they might have in the future? Will they slow down enough to really? This just seemed like it was a pretty rapid response to me, I suppose.
It was quite. I think that a lot of things were combined. We were in an overbought situation as far as a lot of things. I think it come as a total unexpected ploy here today to do that. I don't think that we looked for anything like that to be happening. It'd been 3 years since they'd done anything. And along the way, I think when anything that's unexpected happens, there's more pressure to it. Along with this, though, this did break back the corn, closed down into that gap. The top or the bottom of the gap is down at 28.75. This does open the idea that we didn't hold the top of the gap. It does open us up to maybe have some follow-through selling either tonight or tomorrow along with the week close that we had today. There will undoubtedly be some large margin calls in the morning for the guys that bought the 555, the support level there that looked like the opportunity were a lot of end users and other people would be buyers, and we'll probably see the funds continue to liquidate because of balancing their positions with crude down this much, Todd.
Okay, so it'll be important for the corn market at a minimum to hold into the rest of that gap because it remains there, but you've broken through part of it. You haven't filled it yet.
I have not filled it.
And I bet there'll be a lot of technical trade that looks like it might happen in the overnight hours. What are you hearing about what the trade should do this evening, maybe tomorrow? It's important to follow that.
Well, I think that, it was a weak close today. We will probably see a little more liquidation happen here along the way, and it's going to be where we see some demand develop and pop in here. We'd like to see some end user buying, pop in here down just, anywhere between here and today's lows would be good, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. I think, like I say, I think that we're probably going to drift a little bit lower until we can find support here.
You know, one of the things that it might be important to note here is that while wheat and corn were down, 18 and 11 cents respectively, soybeans were just off 4 cents in the face of all these outside markets. They held stronger than the rest of the grains in Chicago. What'd you make of that trade?
I think that that's where we have been seeing the demand. I think that's where the purchases have been coming in, and that's showing up that way. The harder thing to understand is, though, of course, we keep hearing good yields in beans, mm-hmm. and we keep hearing very erratic and poor yields in the corn as they're finishing up out west. So it's a little bit hard in looking at that when we know that the corn situation is much tighter than the bean situation at this time, but yet the active buying has actually been much heavier in the bean market than it has in the corn. We were rather disappointed with our corn export sales last week and a little bit with our corn export shipments of this last week, too. But they can only load so many bushels out of the Gulf a week, and we were loading an awful lot of beans and an awful lot of wheat also.
You mentioned harvest in Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota to the west, said that it was erratic. Moisture content, as we hear from the Iowa statistician here in a bit, is really pretty low on the corn. What do you hear about harvest itself and loss in the field and what kind of yields they might have?
Well, I think that, like you say, there's some areas out there that are having very, very good yields. But I think there are a lot of other areas, just like there were in Illinois, Indiana, that they're looking at 20 to 40 bushel less than what they were expecting. And that's the erraticness. The super stacks is seed corn that did not do well. They're falling below what just the triple stacks were in most cases. So we're just seeing a little bit of, we think that, if the government is honest with us, that the next report in November will show a lower corn yield than the one they had here this last month.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
That's about it today, Todd.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Wayne had to say again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming posted not long after it airs on the radio station. It's all at willag.org in its entirety, and it's absolutely free. Please do visit the website.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. USDA yesterday afternoon released the latest crop progress report. It shows that with warm, dry weather continuing to dominate much of the major corn-producing area of the Midwest, harvest has continued to rapidly move along, advancing at the quickest pace since the year 2000. By the 17th of October, producers had harvested some 68% of the nation's corn crop. That's 52 percentage points, or 36 days ahead of last year, 29 points ahead of the five-year average. 10 of the 18 major estimating states were 20 points or more ahead of both last year and the five-year average. Soybeans nationally, producers continued to harvest this year's crop at a record pace there as well. Harvesting advancing 16 percentage points during the week, progress reached 83% complete by the week's end, 54% or 26 days ahead of last year and 21 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. Dry weather, excellent harvesting conditions have pushed progress in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska, the five largest soybean-producing states, to 35 points or more ahead of last year and 20 points ahead of the norm. Winter wheat, while warm, sunny weather provided nearly ideal conditions for winter wheat seeding, unfavorably dry conditions left portions of the central and southern plains in need of rain. By October the 17th, 80% of the 2011 winter wheat crop had been seeded, 9 points ahead of last year, 3 points ahead of the five-year average, seeding most ahead of last year and normal in the middle Mississippi and Ohio valleys. Emergence advanced to 51% complete by the week's end. That's 2 points ahead of last year, slightly behind the five-year average. Now, here are the statisticians from Iowa, Illinois, and Nebraska with updates from their regions.
This is Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA NASS, Iowa Field Office. For the third consecutive week, Iowa experienced favorable conditions for harvest to continue. We have not experienced a drier three-week period of weather since November of 2007. Iowa is well ahead of normal in their harvest progression, which should leave time for fall tillage, fertilizing, and installing tile. Topsoil moisture rated 8% very short, 25% short, 66% adequate, and 1% surplus across the state. 66% of the corn acres have been harvested, which is 31 days ahead of last year and 18 days ahead of the 5-year average, and the furthest corn harvest has been by October 17th since 2000, when 80% of the corn acres had been harvested. Moisture content of all corn remaining in the field is estimated at 16%, while the moisture content of corn being harvested is estimated at 14%. Corn condition rated 3% very poor, 8% poor, 20% fair, 47% good, and 22% excellent. Soybean acres harvested increased 14 percentage points to 94% complete, which is 4 weeks ahead of last year and 3 weeks ahead of the 5-year average, and the furthest soybean harvest has been by October 17th since 1987, when 97% of the acres had been harvested. This has been Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA NAS, Iowa Field Office, with the Weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending October 17th, 2010. Thank you.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office. Last week continued the pattern of warm and exceedingly dry conditions for virtually all of the state, allowing corn and soybean harvest to continue, with completion only a week or two away. And wheat producers are still waiting patiently for rain, especially in the southeastern crop reporting district, where 62% of soils were rated in the very short topsoil moisture category. There were 6.9 days suitable for field work last week, and topsoil moisture supplies across the state were rated at 20% very short, 42% short, 37% adequate, and only 1% surplus. Corn harvest advanced by 6 more percentage points and now stands at 93%. Last year on this date, we were at only 10%, and 54% is the 5-year average. Soybean harvest is also nearing completion at 90%, compared to only 13% last year and 64% for the 5-year average. In other crops around the state, 76% of the sorghum crop was reported harvested, compared to 53% normally, and 75% of the soft red winter wheat crop was seeded, compared to 57% for the 5-year average. 27% of seeded wheat has now emerged, and this compares to 21% for the 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Little to no rain fell for the third week in a row, allowing producers to advance harvest well ahead of the 5-year averages. Soybean harvest progressed to 89% complete, and corn reached the halfway point, both 2 weeks or more ahead of average. Long lines and available storage at elevators caused some harvest bottlenecks for producers. Sorghum harvest was advancing while dry bean and proso millet harvest were nearing completion. The last of the winter wheat fields were being seeded, but the lack of rain is slowing emergence. The fourth cutting of alfalfa was 91% completed. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agriculture Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Visit us online anytime you'd like at willag.org. This fall, farmers have a lot of time to do field work, and one of the things they'll do is have fertilizers put on. I have some advice in a moment on where and how a farmer can make the best use of potassium and phosphorus. Dry fertilizers can safely and quickly be applied in the fall. University of Illinois studies have concluded the method of application doesn't really matter much, says Extension Soil Fertility Specialist Fabian Fernandez.
It doesn't really matter if you apply it on the surface and leave it in the surface, or if you incorporate it with tillage, or if you are doing subsurface banding, that's fine. All the research that we have done shows that there is really no difference in terms of corn and soybean performance on the method that you use to apply the fertilizer, as long as you have adequate fertility.
U of I recommends soil testing every 4 years in order to better understand and maintain soil fertility. As to the fall P&K fertilizer applications, these can be made every year or even every other year, as long as the application is timed with the crop rotation.
The one thing that I will mention is that if you do a biannual application, so every other year, that you apply the fertilizer in front of the corn crop if possible. We have seen, especially in no-till fields, we have seen that if corn is in the second year after the application, you can have some yield reduction.
So, as a rule of thumb, always try to make the dry fertilizer application prior to a corn crop. And while fall is a good time to make the application, UofI data suggest it doesn't matter if the dry fertilizer is applied in the fall or even in the spring, as long as it's in place prior to planting.
Typically, the fall is a better time. It's a preferred time because soil conditions are drier, so you can actually drive through the field with the heavy equipment that carries a lot of weight on that fertilizer without the concern of compaction, soil compaction, which in the spring might not be the case. And, of course, typically in the fall, we have a little bit more time than when we get into the busy planting season. And so many people prefer to do it in the fall. But doing it in the spring, if that's what you prefer to do, that's fine.
A note here, those farmers using a corn-corn rather than a corn-soybean rotation should adjust the phosphorus application rate upward. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Rob O'Malley in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. It is time to take a look at the agricultural energy markets for the day. On the phone line with us now is Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Mike Barwinski, not available this afternoon. Harry, thanks for filling in on short notice.
Oh, sure, anytime. We had an exciting market today.
Yeah, you got a good day to fill in, so tell me about this thing.
Well, we started off the morning hearing about the Chinese raising one of their benchmark interest rates for the first time in 3 years. Now, they raised it only a quarter of a percent, but this allowed the markets to really go into a tailspin. The dollar took off higher at first, and when the dollar takes off, that tends to be negative for commodities. Now, them raising their interest rate over there at first, we thought would be negative for our dollar. However, some traders were saying that the thought was that if they're starting to raise some of their rates over there, maybe eventually we will. So the dollar rallied sharply today. Commodities in general sold off sharply. Gold down $40 an ounce. Silver down 85 cents an ounce. Those markets have been flying high recently. Our crude oil was down $3.60, down over 4% in one day, Todd, and that's a big move. Gasoline futures down 10 cents, and diesel fuel, the heating oil market, down about 8.5. So it seems like the strength in the dollar led to weakness in the metals. The grains were down quite a bit, corn down 10 or 11 cents, and the energies were down sharply also. You tend to peak the energy markets out in the fall and then set back into about Thanksgiving to Christmas time. This could be the beginning of that setback that should normally occur.
Hey, thanks so much for filling in short notice and bringing us up to speed.
Sure.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He's in Bloomington, Illinois, joining us here on the Closing Market Report. We'll return in just 2 minutes and talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Seafood Bisque Day. Some culinary historians believe the word bisque comes from the fact that this lobster, crab, shrimp, and crawfish soup is cooked not once, but twice. Others suggest the origin of the word refers to the Bay of Biscay off the shores of western France. On this day in agricultural history in 1688, William Chelston was born, an English surgeon and teacher. He was one of the first to describe the role of saliva in digestion. In 1781, Charles Cornwallis surrendered his army of some 7,000 men to General George Washington at Yorktown, essentially conceding defeat in the Revolutionary War. By the way, Cornwallis was so embarrassed by being bested by the Continental Army that he pretended to be sick so that he would not have to give up his sword in person. In 1917 in France, Salvation Army volunteers made the first donuts for homesick U.S. soldiers. The donuts became a symbol of the spirit of the Salvation Army's work to ease the hardship of World War I soldiers on the front line. In 1960, the U.S. imposed a partial embargo on goods exported to Cuba. And in 2006, the Dow Jones average closed above 12,000 points for the very first time. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon, dawn day of day weather. Out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us on this beautiful day in the Midwest. Are your skies as clear as ours there in Wyoming?
They are blue as blue can be.
Magnificent. Great for harvesting, but we do need a little wet weather some places in the nation, and I think you might be in one of those regions that could use a little rainfall. Anybody going to get some in the next week?
Yeah, in fact, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to see some fundamental changes in the pattern all across the lower 48 states. This means colder weather. This means better chances for precipitation, especially across the nation's midsection, including here in the Corn Belt, but also some of those western areas, some of the wheat areas. They should benefit from precipitation, especially in the next 7 days, as the jet stream is going to dive bomb out of the North Pacific and carve out a big trough over the west, and that's going to migrate across the midsection of the country next week. And probably some of the first hard freezing temperatures of the year will come to some areas.
So if it dives downward, does that mean we see the front side of it and we get rainfall, it gets cold, and then the backside comes through and we get rainfall again? Or is that the way it happens usually?
Well, most of the precipitation is going to be on the front side with these fronts as they move through, then a drier, colder air mass on the backside.
Okay, and how cold are we talking about?
Well, you know, across the northern plains, as you get into Minnesota and the Dakotas, as you get into Wisconsin, maybe even northeastern Nebraska, we're probably going to have some days next week where overnight lows are going to be in the 20s, and some of that could get as far south as Iowa and maybe even northern Illinois if some of our computer models are correct.
And how much rainfall or precipitation? I suppose it could be snowfall in some areas.
Well, I think initially most of it's going to be in the form of rain, but amounts, at least at the moment, are forecasted to be heaviest in Minnesota, northwest Iowa, Wisconsin, and Illinois, Missouri, those areas. Looking at probably half an inch to us is an inch and a half.
Soft red winter wheat regions, that'd be Ohio, Indiana, parts of Illinois, need a little rainfall. Will they get any in the process?
Yeah, I would put them between a half and three quarters of an inch.
Okay, and then take a look around the rest of the globe. Tell me what you see.
Well, if we were to go down south into South America, we would see that precipitation chances are good for Brazil, fairly good for Argentina. I think they're going to see a fairly good chance of widespread rains in both of those countries and over both of those growing areas.
Any place else we need to check in on before I let you go for the day?
Well, if we were to go over to Europe and see where they could maybe get some moisture in some of the wheat areas, it looks like most of Eastern Europe, Central Europe, and even into the Ukraine and Russia should have some good chances of rain and, yep, some snow in some areas.
It's always good to talk with you, Don. Thank you. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Tuesday. You can always hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great day.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.